Welcome to A Flame in the Chaos, where we talk about our real life chaos and how the flame of God never goes out. He is our light in the darkness and the calm in our chaos. And man, am I so thankful for that, because Lindsay will always bring the chaos, and thank God the Holy Spirit always brings the flame. Hey guys, I know it has been a minute. Listen, I did say at the very beginning of this that this is God's podcast. He gives me the title. He gives me, you know, what he wants me to say. He just pours it into me and I just release it. So I am just waiting on God all the time to give me something. And man, I have a message today, and it is called, Sometimes You Have to Stay. And man, it spoke to my heart so strong. So we're going to start out by reading or talking about 1 Samuel chapter 1 with Hannah. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to paraphrase it, but it is in 1 Samuel chapter 1 for you to read. So the story of Hannah. So Hannah has a husband who has two wives, her and another wife. And it is specifically said that the other wife is a rival wife, and the rival wife has children and Hannah has none. So yearly, they travel from her husband's hometown to worship, to offer a sacrifice. Eli is the priest there at the time with his two sons. And after the sacrifice, her husband would pass helpings from the sacrificial meal around to his wives and his kids. And Hannah always got more because she was loved so much more by her husband. He truly loved her. Well, the rival wife taunted her cruelly, it says. And so she would, you know, say mean things to her, and she would tell her, like, God's not giving you any children. And, you know, she just really rubbed it in and hurt her. And it says that this happened year after year. So she was taunted the worst on these trips. And so you can imagine, you're going to pray to God, you're going to worship God, you're going to sacrifice to God, and then your rival wife, who obviously is jealous, is just like, well, you know, God didn't give you any children. Look at me and all my children. You know what I mean? So it's taunting her. It's really rubbing it in. And so she cries this time. They're sitting there. She's crying. She doesn't want to eat. She can't. Her spirit is broken. Her husband starts to get worried, and he tries to pep her up, and he's like trying to console her, and he's like, am I not good enough for you? Like, am I not better than 10 sons for you? Because he really loves her. So she feels this, and so Hannah puts on like this fake smile, and you know, she pulls herself together like we do sometimes, and she eats the food. So then she gets up quietly, and she sneaks out, and she kind of goes to the sanctuary. And now in this moment, she is crushed. She is truly crushed. Her spirit is broken. She has done this year after year after year, and she is just over it. This was the bottom line. She has had enough. It has been too many years. So it says that she prayed and she cried inconsolably. Like, she vowed in this prayer that if she would receive a son from God, that then she would set him apart for a holy life. Like, you give me a son, God, and I'll dedicate him back to you. She went in during this prayer. She prayed so hard and so long that it eventually became a wordless prayer, where she was praying in her heart with just her mouth moving. I mean, she was into it. There was so much feeling in this, and it had to have looked so crazy that Eli, who was the priest, thought that she was drunk. And when he confronted her, he's like, are you drunkard? And she said, no, I'm not drunk. You know, she assured him, I'm just broken. I'm pouring out my heart to God. Like, you know, she went on to tell him. So Eli here saw her boldness, her dedication. You know, he blessed her then and said, you know, basically, God will give you a son. Like, just be on your way. God's got you. And she thanked him. She just said, you know, hey, pray for me. And she went on about her business. And when she left, after hearing that promise, it says, you know, she went pleasantly. She had a radiant face, and then she went and ate heartily. So she went and she ate that food. She ate that food right there in front of that rival wife. Yeah, look at me and my radiant face, and I'm going to eat this food. You know, like, she was good. She did not feel the least bit like anxious. So when they get back there, it says that God began making the necessary arrangements in response to what she asked. And before the year was out, she had conceived and then had a son. So what can we review here, right? Can we just review like a couple things and how we can put that into our lives? So this rival wife can really represent anybody or anything that taunts us, right? There might be a thought that comes in your head that you continuously doubt yourself or doubt God about. It could be somebody else in your workplace, in your family, in your friend group, a stranger, you know, that's saying the same things to you. It could be something that you need and you don't have, something that you desire, something in your life that is not happening, that you're just waiting to happen, and God, it's not happening yet, and it's just toning you and toning you. You may be in a financial bond and that those bills are taunting you. It could be your health taunting you. It could be your children acting up taunting you. It could be your, you know, your family taunting you because you're the only saved person in your family. That rival wife can represent anything in our lives that is taunting us, right? That we just cannot get away from. And the story is short, but it says year after year they did this. So basically, year after year, she was taunted, she would eat, she would pray, they would go home. She was taunted, they would eat, they would pray, and then go home, right? Year after year. Can you imagine this? Like year after year in the same time, every time you went to worship God? But not only that, she lived with this person. So you have to know that it was probably day after day, right? Can we imagine that? And I mean, otherwise her life had to be good because her husband truly loved her. Like, you know, she also probably really loved him because she was enough to hide herself and her true feelings to make him feel better. So she probably had a really good life other than this taunting thing on her. So jealousy was also a factor. So the husband gave her more portion because he really loved her. She faked the happiness for him. So faking it until you make it will not last forever. Like this time, this trip, this meal. So everyone gets to that point, right? To that point where they are just at their blow up moment. I have had it up to here and I am done. Hannah had it up to here and she was done. And something was about to change. And it like she was to the point where it was like, you know what? I'm sick of this. This jealous lady keeps toning me. I've had it up to here. God, you have to move. I cannot stay in the same place anymore. I'm not going back unchecked, unchanged, unchecked. I have to stay. I have to stay today. You know? So another thing that we can learn is that prayer was not like those other days for Hannah here. It was not, she did not go in with that short little sweet prayer, that rehearsing, the week-to-week prayer, the month-to-month prayer, those prayers that she had prayed every other year that she came in. She was ready for war when she went in there. She was completely ready. She was broken. She was crushed. She was hurting. This was that ugly cry kind of prayer. And that ugly cry kind of prayer, I say that because that's what I say happened to me. I said, God, I am not ugly crying on that altar. And guess what? I did because that was my day. That was my day when I rededicated my life. She prayed so hard and so much that it says that she was inconsolable and so much that she lost her words. She could not even like speak anymore. She was just moving her mouth and the words were in her heart and she was just praying. And you can imagine the cries and the groans and you know what I mean? And it's so good that God hears us in those moments, right? So she could have left, like she could have left, but she couldn't. She had to stay. She was not released. She had not gotten her promise. She was going to war for that promise that she needed. So she went to God with her rawness, with her boldness, with her humility down, with her truth. Like she went there. She did not care what that rival was doing. She didn't care what that rival was thinking. She didn't care about that rival sitting there with her husband and all them extra kids that wasn't hers. She didn't care about that toning factor in that moment. She was there for herself. She had had enough to where she was like, I need movement. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I don't care what anybody is saying about me. They say I need prayer for this. God would have been doing this for me. God, I need you. And this is what I am doing right now. So she went in there for herself. Eli, who was the priest, thought she was drunk. Okay, like, can you just imagine? like the whispers, the looks, the whole atmosphere. If Eli thought she was drunk, okay, what are them other people thinking who are not in there every day, like seeing people pray? You know, it was out of the ordinary for him enough to feel like she was drunk. But you know what? It didn't matter. She had to stay. She had to keep pushing on this day. And she was breaking through. And she just needed that moment. And she was completely unmoved by who or what was around her. For a priest to think she was drunk, it had to be a war prayer, right? And so then what? Then she got the word. Then she got the promise. Right? That's the best part right there. It was a complete change through faith. She kept her faith that, God, I'm not leaving here. I'm pouring myself out to you until I get this. She got her word, and guess what? She got up in faith, and she believed, and her whole countenance changed. She was then radiant, pleasant. She went and ate heartily. She was like, pass me that. Pass me that. I want some of that, too. Let me fill my plate, rival wife, okay? She ate good. And so she stood there proud in the face of that rival with a new confidence. And that new confidence was faith. She chose to stay in that faith. She never questioned. She never doubted. She never asked for 100 prayer requests on Facebook. You know what I mean? She knew and she stayed in it. She knew that promise and she trusted that promise and she believed. So if we go on, the pregnancy wasn't immediate. She didn't get pregnant that night and move on. It specifically says that God had to make the necessary arrangements. So I can imagine that for that little minute between the moment that she left with that promise and the moment that she was actually pregnant, that toning probably got worse before it got better. Isn't that what the enemy does to us? Isn't that what our rivals do to us? Don't they try to make it worse before they make it better? So when we feel like we're going to be at a breakthrough moment, we get that promise. So that we won't walk in that promise, we start to have it more on top of us, more toning. So where it does not say that, I can imagine that the toning did get worse. And if not, it generally does today. She could not let her mind wander. Hannah had to stand firm. She could not let that doubt in. She could not let that rival win. She knew what her promise was, and she had to stay in it. Can you see the theme here? She decided to stay and she stayed in each of these lessons. So at the end, she had a son who was eventually called to the priesthood, Samuel, and he was the first prophet and the last judge of Israel. So can you imagine if she didn't stay? Can you imagine if she had carried around that doubt, if she had refused that prayer, if she, you know, had gone home and then let them convince her that she was not going to get pregnant or that God was not going to move for her. And she sat in that doubt and she became fearful again and shut off and refused to believe. No, she stayed in that faith. And through that faith, this was born. You stay in that faith and what is going to be born? What have we walked away from? Even myself, what have I gotten a promise from? And out of fear or out of my rival enemy of whatever sort toning me, what have I walked away from that could have been born by now? You know what I mean? Those are things that we have to think about. It's okay to stay in the moment in faith. That is where we should be staying, right? So how can I relate to this? How can we relate? More so, right? So that rival situation, we can look at that in our work. We can look at that in our home, in our flesh. That flesh and spiritual warfare is serious. I told my husband yesterday, I said, man, my flesh is so strong. It is so strong. But I am so glad, like, my spirit is stronger. But sometimes that war between the spirit and the flesh, I'm just going to be honest, it's exhausting, you know? It is exhausting. And sometimes that ourself can be our own rival. You know what I mean? So it doesn't have to be another person. It can be yourself. It can be your family. And then we hide. Hannah hid herself and her emotions from her husband. She pretended, she pulled herself together. She got that smile on and she ate a little bit, right? What are we hiding? Why are we hiding that anger and that sadness? And it's hardening our heart and it's making us bitter. Bitter towards that rival when we could just let it all out, right? Also, we worry about too many other people to even go to the altar.
Now, I'm not saying that you only have to go to the altar to pray, but I'm saying the majority of people, they start to feel that draw of their spirit in church, and they're too worried about everybody else to get their butt up and go to the altar. And that is a big problem. They worry about what are they going to think if I go? Oh, I'm going to have to squeeze past those five people in the row. You know, who are they? I wonder if they know me. You know what I mean? Like, so what? Ain't nobody going to say nothing about you going to the altar. Because likely, if you got up and went, they probably would follow you up there. Because a lot of people don't go because they worry about everybody else. It's a trick of the enemy, and it works to keep people planted in that seat. And I just hate it. So, anyways, someone else's perception of us may matter too much to us. What are they going to think? Who are they going to tell? Oh, they're looking at me. They're talking and whispering. Are they talking about me? Let them talk. Let them talk. Because you know what? When that is born out of you in faith, then they're going to see while you was acting like you was drunk. And guess what? You was just drunk in the spirit. They'll see that in you. And then they'll be whispering about, how can I get that? How can I get that? Whispering in your ear. Can you walk with me? Can you show me? Can you teach me? How did this happen? Let them talk about you now, because when they see what God is doing in your life, then they're going to be talking to you. It doesn't matter. People's perceptions of us, it don't matter. You let God lead you. You do what God wants you to do. Doubt on our promise. This is such a big factor, y'all. The what ifs, the doubts. No, I don't, God, I don't think I can do that. I think maybe I heard you wrong. Can you confirm that again for the 40th time? You know, the battle's too hard. God, I've been waiting too long. If you said that this was for me, it would have happened by now. The rival is too loud. They're too loud in my ear. They're telling me I can't. They're telling me I can't. And God, I don't hear you saying I can anymore. You know why? Because God told you he could one time. Yes, you will one time. And you are supposed to hang on to that word, because it is the only word that matters. And you know what? That rival being too loud, God will shut them up. Running from person to person. Sometimes we can't take God's promise, because then we go back from person to person. They pour a little bit of doubt into us. We take that doubt, double it in a cup, pour it, go tell that doubt to somebody else. Before like a week's up, we've done talked to so many doubtful people in our lives that now we don't even know. We don't even know, did I even hear God? Am I even hearing God? That is such a big factor. We get a promise or a word from God, and we doubt God enough that we continue to just run to these random people or to social media, to church groups, like crying and begging for God to speak to you. And he's already told you. He's already given this promise. Hannah didn't get up from there. She walked away pleasant and radiant and ate a full meal, right? She left it right there on the altar. She remained unmoved in her faith. She never then turned around and went back in the hallway home, asked, hey, can you remember to pray for me for this? Remember to pray for me for this. Y'all, I just don't know. Man, I'm so sad. I just can't. Yeah, I know you're right. I didn't. She didn't have any of that. God gave her the word and she stood on it and she believed it. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to ask people for prayer. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying, when you know that God gave you a promise, when you know that he gave you a word, that's the word. Your job is to stand on it in faith, right? There's no reason to take it to anybody else. God has already given you the word. His word is more than anybody else. You know, if he can answer me, I love you all, but his answer is more important than a person of anybody on this earth, right? His word matters. Sometimes we need to hear somebody that we can see right in front of us. Somebody that we can see their picture on Facebook. Sometimes we just want the attention of the prayer request and be putting it up there. No, stop it. If God told you, he already told you. There's no need to do anything else. Leave it there. Have faith and start walking in it. Start walking and showing God, yes, I believe this. You know, I believe Hannah was probably preparing a nursery before she ever got pregnant. She was ready. She was done. So there are some of us who are in a season of God, and God is saying there's no reason to keep holding it. Break that barrier. You've got to break that barrier, that pride, that fear, that doubt, that shame. So when you take it down, when you break through what those other people are going to think about you and you get to that altar, you get to that one-on-one time, you got to let it go. Sometimes letting go is like prying a penny from a baby's hand. Have you ever really tried to do that? By the time you get the first two fingers out, they've gripped it harder. They're crying. It's a lot. And so sometimes we've been holding on to something so tight for so long, our fingers are stuck around it. Guess what? You ain't gonna sit at that altar for 90 seconds and that grip be let go. It takes sometimes you go into war in prayer and saying, God, I ain't moving till I hear something. God, I need you. I need you right now. And I don't hear you, God, but I know you're there and I'm seeking you. And you said, if I seek, I'll find you. And if I knock, you'll open. And God, I'm here. I'm seeking you, God. I need a word from you. It's not saying that and then being like, okay, well, I didn't hear you, God, in 10 seconds. So I'm getting up and I'm going to go right back to my seat. Sometimes you have to press on for you, for your spirit, for your relationship with God. Sometimes you have to stay, and that's okay. God wants us to be willing to stay. He wants to see that sureness in us, that faithfulness, that boldness. You know what I mean? That willingness to wait on a word from Him, the longing in our heart to seek Him. He needs to see, too, that we're able to be truthful with Him and open for Him. We can be so angry and so hurt sometimes and then go up to the altar to pray or pray at home or pray in the car ride or pray in the bed, wherever you pray, and you don't even talk to God about being angry. You don't even talk to God about being sad. God, my heart is broken. No, you just be like, God, protect me while I sleep. Let it be a better day tomorrow. God wants you to be raw with Him. He wants you to open up your heart with Him. He sees it anyway. He sees you. He wants that relationship. He wants you to break that barrier down and really, truly trust Him with your heart. That's what He wants. So when you go to Him, when Hannah went to Him and she was raw and she was open and He knew, okay, for years and years and years, she's been coming in here. She's been saying these little patty cake prayers and going on about her business with her fake smile, eating her little bit of food, being taunted year after year after year. Hannah had had enough and she went to God with it. She should have been went to God with it years ago. So He respected that because now, okay, this is her true self before God. Sometimes we're not even our true self before God, knowing He knows every single piece of us. Hannah had to break that. We have to break that. He knows us anyway. Hannah had hid her feelings, herself, her prayers, her heart for years and years. And you know what? When she got real, God got real. And sometimes we're too quick. We're too rushed. We're too anxious. God wants us. He wants our time. He don't care. God didn't set church to be from 10:30 to 12, 11 to 12. You know what I mean? 12:01, everybody's supposed to be rushing out. God did not put a time on a church service. God wants you. So if you're the one hanging up that altar, you know what? You be the one hanging up that altar because that's what God wants. You've got to release to have movement, to have birth of something, right? So He wants us to stay sometimes. And my question today is, are you really willing to do that? I know that we all have those rivals in our head. I know that we all have those moments. But man, I am telling you, it has been a season of fire lately. Fire and salvation and revelation. And I want to see every single person have that breakthrough. So I am encouraging you, go to God openly, boldly, and be willing to stay until there is movement. I love you all so much, and I am praying that you got as much out of this message as I did.